It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Joe McHugh is a storyteller and story collector who has traveled the back roads of America, meeting people and recording their family stories. He's been featured on NPR's Morning Edition and Voice of America Radio. He was producer and host of The Telling Takes Us Home, a celebration of American family stories. And he's in the Steel City gathering family stories and adding closure to a story of his own. He joins us to talk about the art of storytelling in the modern age. Joe McHugh, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
In your book, Slaying the Gorgon, The Rise of the Storytelling Industrial Complex, you look at how we tell stories with modern technology. How do you think mediums such as TV and film influence the way we tell stories?
Well, I do see human consciousness in a binary way. I have a shorthand. A lot of people talk about left brain, right brain. Mm-hmm. I talk about what I call mythos knowing and logos knowing. And we use them all the time in some blending, so it's not like hardly you ever get it by itself. And so mythos knowing is just shorthand for sensory knowing, but everything that goes with sensation, including emotion and intuition, and then your five physical senses. And logos knowing is this trick we do as primates where we can break everything down into their component parts and string them together in time, whether that's reading a book or a manufacturing assembly line. And so that's the way that we sort of relate to the world. And I began to see, and I had been a folk storyteller for 35 years, Red McLuhan very late in the game, not in the 60s. And he, I was doing a lot of work with troubled young people in the juvenile justice system, trying to understand the impact of modern culture on young people. And I began to really see that this idea of the medium is the message, I really got what he was trying to get at.
What McLuhan was trying to say. Yeah.
Right. And what he's basically saying is certain forms of storytelling are inherently either more logos knowing or more mythos knowing. And so whichever medium of storytelling a society embraces will, in fact, translate into the way they make very important decisions. So either be decisions based on logos knowing or mythos knowing. So it's a large historical perspective of something that's sort of a sine curve going from the Middle Ages through the Age of Enlightenment and now into what I think is a new mythos knowing age.
Right.
So that's a long answer. But
well, what about more recent internet technologies, in particular the extremes of blogs and Twitter? With blogging, your lengths and words, your word counts are unlimited. But with Twitter, you have 140 characters. What are your thoughts on how that changes the way we tell stories?
Well, so many people really immediately go to sort of the most breaking technology and say, what is this and how is this changing things? We have been on a long period of embracing mythos knowing technologies from about the time of the invention of the camera. And then you had film and then you have music, recorded music. And I think looking more at those basic technologies will give us a better sense of why Congress just shut down. I mean, I'm not trite. I mean, that really is happening here. When you get into the area of the internet and Twitter and so forth, it gets more complicated to try to understand what those influences are. But they're not as profound as we think. Much larger are these, the effect of a billboard, the effect of this visual environment in which we live. These things are very mythos heavy. Why did Breaking Bad? Why was that such a huge television show? We tend to want to look at the content, but in fact, it's the television and that form that leads to these kind of shows.
Let me throw something out there. I was watching I was watching a Turner Classic Movies one night, and Madeline Stowe was on as a guest programmer, they call it, and where a famous person comes in and chooses their favorite films, and one of hers was Splendor in the Grass, and she said, "I am worried. I am worried." We're not seeing movies like this. We're not seeing these kinds of stories told anymore in popular media because people can't seem to sit still and listen to a story like this anymore. Are you, as you go out and you gather your stories, are you finding that there's less of an audience or that people don't seem to be engaged in the ways that they once were?
These are great questions. And as a storyteller, of course, I really wrestle with this. Because I've been an oral storyteller, somebody goes to schools and senior centers or festivals and tells traditional stories. And today, essentially, I'm up against Harry Potter or Breaking Bad or whatever, or World War Z. But again, I think content, I'm a real content person. I think it really matters if you tell a good story. And the story comes from a place that you care about and you really do feel it's transmitting some sense of wisdom or, you know, shared experience versus something that's just there to have novelty or to create, you know, some sensation. But these technologies themselves are a lot what's behind it. It's McLuhan said, you know, radio and television are essentially trivial mediums. Now, we think of that word trivial and we think, well, that means that they're not important. No, he's really saying that they are not well suited to deep, in-depth understanding.
Well, one of the stories you gathered was from Robert Morgan, who grew up in a family of storytellers and vividly recalls winter evenings of his youth and the family stories that kept him entertained since he didn't have a TV or a radio. And really, storytelling flourished before we had electronic media, right?
Right.
That was the entertainment then.
Right.
So have we lost that art?
No, it's all taking place now in these new mythos-based mediums. That is the storytelling. I mean, the most powerful people, some of the richest people in our country are all people, in fact, who have been very successful with the new mediums. Excuse me. what I think is really occurring is what the difference between what you just said and today is that this is still a mythos-based storytelling form, but it has become very complex because of these new technologies and very industrialized, which gets to the title of my book. What happens when you industrialize the way you tell stories? You take a city like Pittsburgh. I mean, there used to be people who had a forge, who made horseshoes. This went on for thousands of years. But when Pittsburgh comes along, this is not about a bunch of people with small shops making horseshoes. This is about Carnegie and big plants making a lot of steel and making a lot of things. So there is a fundamental change in human activity when you industrialize something. Well, we have industrialized the very process of telling stories, which is so fundamental to the human experience. Storytelling is about entertainment, yes, but it's also about passing on wisdom, cultural values, all this cohesion. So you take a look at what happened in Aurora, Colorado. Horrible situation. Fella comes out, which is happening a lot with young people too, completely identifying with the mythic story of Batman. His hair is dyed, he comes out, and he starts shooting up the place. Now, some of the people that were interviewed were underneath the seat, so I can't imagine. Horrific. But the thing they said is the movie kept playing with its soundtrack and its gunshots and its music while this guy was really doing this in the real world, and it was very disorientating. One thing I didn't hear anyone in the reporting of this whole story touch on was, well, where was the projectionist? You know, where was the guy in the booth or woman who was going to switch the movie off when this whole thing started? It's all automated.
Right.
That to me was very symbolic of where this is all going. The technologies truly are beginning to drive how we tell stories, and that is a fundamental difference.
Was your interest in story gathering and storytelling inspired by your quest to find out the story of the woman who raised you? And this is such a compelling story. We have just a few minutes left, but please tell it as best you can.
Well, I was born in Pittsburgh. And when I was 1.5 years old, my father died of polio very suddenly. And my family were a successful industrial family. Talking about industry, they had the McGraw Wool Company, and they had a couple mills on the north side of the Allegheny River. And we had an elderly black woman working for us, which was very common, and her name was Helen. And when my father died, my mother was also pregnant, and 2 months later lost the child when my brother was born. And he only lived for 2 days. So this was a devastating tragedy to my mother. And she really withdrew from life in a lot of ways. But this woman, Helen, was there throughout all that. And she stayed with us until I was 5. And we eventually moved back to New Jersey. Helen left my life. And I had been doing this radio project on family stories, collecting family stories. No idea that really my own family had this rather incredible story because the role this woman played. And it came later when I was doing some talks about media and young people, somebody brought up the idea, a brain specialist, of something called sad brain syndrome. And I kind of caught my ear. I was in the session. I listened. And he said, if between a time the child is born until they're 3 years of age, if the mother goes into a prolonged state of melancholy, then the child's neural architecture will essentially mirror that state as it develops. And I don't think I'm that kind of person. I don't have this depressive thing. And it was because of Helen. So that led me to this effort to try to find where Helen had gone, and nobody knew her last name, which was fairly typical of the time. You know, it was Helen. It was just a black woman who worked for you. My mother had already died. And then I found, I mean, it's history detective, absolutely unexpected. I found one letter with one sentence about a house fire in Maryland where her grandson had died, my mother relating this, but no last name, but there was a date. And with only that and the grace of God, I found this family. So on Sunday, we're putting a headstone on where she's buried without a gravestone in a Catholic cemetery. It has been an absolutely essential experience in my own life, and it has shown me so much about the importance of knowing who you are and your story.
Joe McHugh was producer and host of The Telling Takes Us Home, a celebration of American family stories, and he's in Pittsburgh gathering more of those stories. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend.